Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's, man?
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
game time!
Welcome to Parents for the Parents Network. I am your host, M.A. Scott, and as always, I have to say it each and every time, folks, we're going to promise you another wonderful and great show. Hopefully, you'll be able to join us by calling in and sharing your views and your thoughts and your comments on our topic of today. Our topic of today is what are our kids getting out of it? And even more so, I would say, going on at these institutions of higher learning. You know, I just recently learned that another HBCU is under fire, possibility getting ready to close down here soon or may close down in the near future. And hopefully that isn't so. Hopefully somewhere along the line that great institution can be resurrected and brought back up to the high standards that it has held for this number of years. And I'm talking about Elizabeth City State University in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Colleague said that Elizabeth City was under pressure, possibly having to shut its doors. And, you know, it just totally amazed me and surprised me and shocked me how these institutions fall into this situation. Well, I shouldn't even say amazed me or shocked me. I should say simply it confirms what I've been saying and what a number of us have been saying for a number of years around the country. You know, why aren't we supporting our own institutions? I have no problem with giving my time and my resources, providing resources to a number of these institutions. I would prefer to institution like Elizabeth City than provide resources to a university such as North Carolina, University of Virginia, Kentucky, Duke, Alabama, UCLA, or whatever, because of the simple fact that those young men and women deserve an education just like everyone else does. Those young men and women deserve the opportunity to get a good education just like everyone else does, you know. And my thing with that is, you know, you have these large institutions that's thriving and, you know, building new multi-million dollar labs and, you know, standing up new departments and all this other kind of stuff. You know, based upon the large amount of revenue that they're bringing in, whether or not it's from a donor, whether or not it's from a booster, or whether or not it's from their athletic department, but they're still able to generate these funds each and every year and survive off of that, and not only survive, but sit feeling very comfortable. When was the last time that you heard of one of these major institutions having to close this door? I know for a fact over the last 10 years or so, I've heard about at least 5 HBCUs that have had difficulty maintaining some of the programs that it maintained. You know, recently, I say roughly about 9 months ago, I was listening to a speaker, and I only remember it that clearly because it was like September of 2013. as I was listening to the speaker, and he shared something with the audience, and it was very, very enlightening, you know, and right on line with what I'm talking about now, and some of the things that we're going to discuss today is right on line with that. But what he shared with us was that he headed up a engineering department at an HBCU. And the HBCU was Xavier out of Louisiana. And when Katrina hit, you know, of course they had to get all the kids out of there and relocate kids that was at the school and all this other kind of stuff and folks around, so on and so forth. Did a fine job doing that. Great job, commendable to everyone that was involved in that process. But when they went to stand the school back up, based upon what they had lost during the storm, the option was, were we going to come back with the engineering department or whether or not we were going to maintain the football team? And in the end, the football team survived in the engineering department. Faith. Very strong, very puzzling to me. But that was a very strong statement. They value the football team over the engineering department. And, of course, I am a man of sports, and, you know, I like to ensure that each and every young man and women, each and every young man and woman has an opportunity to get out there and participate and play sports and get the best out of it. But when you sacrifice the engineering department, engineers are responsible and very valuable and, you know, a very promising career. When you sacrifice an engineering department for a football team, then you show where your value really and truly lies. It's not in education of our young men and women. It's seems to be more in drawing in that revenue and showing that at the end of the day, if you have a very promising football team or basketball team, you know, and that to me is a very sad message that was sent to those young men and women of that institution. Was it surprising? Was it shocking? No. Was it appalling? Truly. Because of the simple fact that, you know, who was the governing body that decided that that was the best course of action for our young men and women? Who was the person that said, okay, hey, the engineering department down? You know, I listened to some of the commentary and you know, some of the reports that came out earlier this week. Or should I say last week, as I listened to how you have a number of these coaches, you know, drawing in sums of money, you know, these phenomenal sums. You know, what college coach is worth a pocketbook, or should I say, a annual salary of just under $7 million a year. College school, annual salary, $7 million a year. Okay, I understand. You know, you got a big-time program. Your program does a whole lot for the school, and, you know, you bring them in at a phenomenal rate, but at the same time, I know the number of young men that you've also sent away from your school as well. So you can't say that the $7 million that you draw in each and every week is
can't say
the $7 million that you draw each and every week is something that that you deserve, you know. And I hate to say it that way, you know, the $6.5 million a year, and if you stay for a whole entire year, you get an additional $400,000. So you draw that number up to $6.9 million. And if you look at the real big picture, if you were an NFL coach, then you would be in the top 10 of all coaches. Your salary would be in the top 10 of all coaches. Really? Out of the 30-plus teams that's in the NFL, you are being paid more than, you are being paid more than two-thirds of the coaches. That's real interesting. That's real interesting. And on top of all that, your players are barely making it through. I wonder what the graduation rate looks like at that school. You know, let's talk about the real fact. If you was an NBA coach, you would be in the top three. Actually, would be holding down second place as an NBA coach with that $6.9 million. You know, and that's really puzzling to me. Really puzzling to me. Why would a college coach rate that? You know, and not just to talk about that particular college coach or talk about that particular institution. Let's talk about a number of institutions that's out there. Let's look at the Kentucky. It's to me, and I think it's my, I don't know, I think it's my gut feeling that a matter of time that something's going to leak out on that school. Because, you know, that school is the only school that has actually bought off on the, you know, one and done situation. They have drawn in more one and done player over the last two or three years than anyone else has, you know, probably in the last 5 years. You know, you have a whole entire starting five that comes in that's one and done. You know, that number should count highly against their graduation rate. You know, how are they justifying that? You know, not only the one and done, but the ones that decide they want to leave after two, 3 years without getting their degree. You know, how do they justify that? Is it because of the coach? Because, you know, he's able to draw these kids in and they're able to fill seats. And as long as they're able to fill seats, then we overlook that. Parents, we need a wake-up call. We need a wake-up call. We got institutions that's closing, but yet still we have this type of stuff going on a regular basis, and we just sit back, allowing it, accepting it, and saying basically that it's okay for it to exist. Let's fast forward. Let's look at something that's going on here currently. You know, over the last few, I would say last year plus, University of North Carolina has come under fire. University of North Carolina has been the big, prominent powerhouse in basketball. You know, when you're talking, you know, East Coast basketball, you're talking about teams such as, you know, Connecticut. You're talking about teams such as Duke. You talk about the North Carolina. You know, Florida. When you talk East Coast, that's the main four teams that stand out. Oh, excuse me, Syracuse. Those teams really stand out when we're talking about the East Coast. But here lately, North Carolina has come under fire for their academics. And I'm waiting to see how this all pans out. You know, and the question or the statement was that last report was that the coach had no idea that these types of things would happen, or stating that these things weren't happening, or that is not true facts. Now, how do you say that? How do you not have accountability for your students? You know, each time I've went on a recruiting visit or talked to parents that went on a recruiting visit, one of the things that I always noticed that they talked about was them being able to keep track of their kids. And, you know, I had one coach even told me, you know, during the time we was out on a recruiting visit, that, you know, one of his assistants go by and peek in the classroom, you know, every day, you know, at least once in the morning. Another assistant, they would go in and check classrooms later on that afternoon just to see if kids are in the class, you know, and to make sure that they're doing what they're doing. You know, I know a number of them have mandatory study hall, and, you know, coaches should be getting different reports from time to time about what's going on with their players, or if they really truly care, they would check and see what's going on with their players. But, you know, for a coach to be as prominent as he is and as caring as he has claimed to be, to just simply sit back and say that he has no idea of what's going on with the players, or he's never heard of anything such as classes that wasn't even given, or whatever the case, I find that hard to believe, and I find that hard to believe for the simple fact that. I find it hard to believe due to the simple fact that, you know, we often talk about how he's such a caring coach, you know, and I'm not quite understanding how is it that you, that he is able to, not be able to be on top of what's going on with that program. So, at the end of the day, I find it hard to believe, and I question that. That's another one of those coaches that we hear about that's supposedly doing so many different things, you know, for their kids, but is he really and truly doing it? What they're claiming to do. So I question that. I'll say that to anyone, anytime, any day. You know, what's really going on in these programs? You know, somebody really needs to take a look at all of them. Somebody needs to go through all of them with a fine-tooth comb. And if the NCAA was the true governing body that they claim to be, then we'll probably hear more from them. And I'm really shocked at this point. And, you know, I have a number of friends that their children attended, a number of these schools. And, you know, I support them all the way and what they've done with their children. And still continue to support them. And look at what their children have done and the accomplishments that they have made, because they are parents that make sure that their kids get the best out of these situations, not just go through the motions. So we're here on the Parents Coach Parents Network, and love to hear from you as always. Let me pull up my calling number. I'm kind of at a disadvantage right now. I wasn't totally prepared as I'd like to be. But I did read some good information today on the situation going on at North Carolina that I want to share with you here in a minute. And as soon as I get a chance to, I will definitely be sharing this information with you. here in a few minutes. Well, as always, we have to pass the fast network. Give us a call at, I think the calling number is 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts and your ideals on what we're doing out here and whether or not you have any thoughts on what's going on out there with our kids and what's going on in the news with our young men and women. 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. We love to hear from you. As always, we're going to pause right here for a minute. Stay with us. Hopefully my commercial will come up. But if not, please stay with us while we take a little commercial break for half a second. Well, I'm back with you here on the Fast Custom Fast Network. I truly apologize because I gave out the wrong call-in number, but you can definitely reach me at, let's see what that number is, 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you this evening, see what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, what's going on out here in the sporting industry, especially talking about our college sports and North Carolina being under fire the way that they have been. You know, North Carolina being under fire the way that they have been. Well, I'm going to plug in my man, Mr. Keith Wright. I haven't had a chance to plug him in today, and I'll plug him in here shortly.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
That boy say he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. That's how he do. Yep, and that's what we love to hear. Again, give us a call to Fast Custom Fast Network. You can always reach us at 919-889-8095. We love to hear from you. You get a chance, call in, talk to us, let us know what's going on today. What you think about our young men and women that's in this situation nowadays? You know, as we talk about sports, you know, it's always interesting to hear your thoughts on what's going on out there, because you know a lot of these young men and women are still children, you know, and. I say we should be the first ones that stand up and speak out about what's going on with our children, not allowing someone else to do it, but we should be the ones that stand up and speak out. Why should we give away that authority to someone else? That's not their responsibility. That's our responsibility. You know, that's our responsibility. We should hold to it and make sure that everybody knows that, hey, this is my son, this is my daughter. Call today at 919-889-8095. Love to hear from you today here on the Parents Plus Parents Network. So we can be shy. You know, we love to hear what's going on in your world. Let's see if I can get one of our former guests on to join us and see what he's talking about today. You know, a guy that has been on with us a couple of times before, Mr. Al Wood out of Ohio. Love to hear what he's talking about and see what's his thoughts on the North Carolina situation. The way I see it, you know, oftentimes folks will say, they'll quickly say, well, you know, that young man's lying or that young man's making up something. Why? What is he gaining out of making up this story about, you know, what kind of classes he attended? And if we listen to the story closely, he's not the only one that has made this report. So if he's fabricating this story, then this seems to be a very heavy story being fabricated, you know. And I don't see where he would benefit from creating the story. You know, if he wants his 5 minutes of fame, okay, all well, fine and then you get your 5 minutes of fame. But at the same time, he's been doing his part, you know. And to me, it's the responsibility of these coaches to make sure at the end of the day that these young men and women walk away with their degrees. You know, I bet you if you held these coaches accountable for that action, for their action, and saying, okay, hey, if, you know, you have a situation like this, then we're going to fine you, you know, $50,000, $100,000. I bet you that we will have a sudden change of heart in how young men and women are treated, seen, and overall work with and dealt with as far as scholarships are concerned. Again, we'd love to hear from you this evening. Give us a call at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. You know, get your takes on this here North Carolina situation. And just get a feel, or if you have something else that you want to share or add to the story, then hey, by all means, share it, add it in. You know, give us your perspective on what you see or what you hear or what you think about what's going on out there. You know, and I'll be the first one to say I wouldn't be surprised to see a number of other institutions fall under the same scrutiny and same microscope. Well, I can't say the same microscope because I haven't seen North Carolina fall under a microscope yet. You know, they're kind of sort of being overlooked as far as, you know, as far as what's going on. You know, they're not putting them under the microscope to say, hey, okay, what are you doing, North Carolina? As always, I think we have a caller that just joined us. I don't know if this caller wants to join in on the conversation or just calling just to listen to the show. Let me plug in my man Keith Wright for a second here while I go check this caller out and see if this caller wants to join our show.
A student
another game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the plumber, out the pen. But I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back. We're back. And as my man, Mr. Keith Wright, said, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And if more of our young men and women took that attitude, definitely we will have something positive to think about, or they would have something positive to think about. You know, I say, again, give us a call at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. 095. I had a chance to talk with some of our elders that have been around the sporting industry for a number of years, and hopefully we'll get them to come on and join us on a couple of shows as well. Retired NBA Players Association, a couple of gentlemen from there, and the retired Globetrotters, a couple of gentlemen from there, and they're working on some great things around the country as well. Hopefully we'll do a joint show here soon, or at least have them on our show here, the Parents Coach Parents Network, as our guest. And hopefully they'll share some insight on some of the things that they're doing out there in the community. But what we're talking about today, we're talking about the situation at the University of North Carolina, where a young man, well, if you look at it, a young man made his allegations a few months ago, Michael McAdoo, I believe that was his name, a football player, made his statement some months ago, and just basically said that, you know, they had him in some classes that wasn't really taking place. And matter of fact, I think I have the article right here in front of me, and I actually highlighted some stuff that I found in the article. And Michael McAdoo was kicked off the Tar Heel football team in 2010, violation relating to having a tutor do improper work on 3 term papers. When he sued to get back on the team a year later, claiming a breach of contract, the university fought back. It had kept him on athletic scholarship. Now, I guess my question was, why did the university keep him on athletic scholarship if they thought he was an academic problem? If he was cheating on term papers or had a tutor doing some work on his term papers, why would they keep him on an athletic scholarship? That's the first puzzling part to me. Another part that jumped out to me was in this article, and I'm reading from an article in the newobserver.com, and it's dated January 15, 2014. Former UNC player ties counselor to a no-show class. And this young man by the name of Michael McAdoo. Michael McAdoo, a key UNC football player, an NCAA investigation into improper benefits. Improper benefits, I'm assuming, is that fact that he had a tutor doing some work for him on a couple of his term papers. Says he was led by academic counselor for no-show classes. And what I mean by led by academic counselor, in other words, I'm assuming that these class was assigned to him, and the classes never really or truly took place. I was scanning through the article and looking at some of the stuff that they talked about. Father here. One statement that this young man made is that they pretty much put me in that class, McAdoo said, the counselor in the academic support program for student athletes. They pretty much told me that I might want to consider, and I really didn't have much time to think about it. So I might want to take that class while it was available. In other words, they forced him into a class, and once he got into the class was basically a scam, because the class really and truly served no purpose. It was a class that was there on paper, but really and truly doesn't appear that anyone was holding this class convo. Now, it's going back to my original question as a parent. Why wasn't the coaches aware that the coach should have been totally aware of every player's schedule? We're not talking about a football team where you have 50, 60, 70 kids out there. We're talking about a basketball program where at most they may carry 15 kids out there. So somebody should have been aware of this young man's schedule. And if at any given time, if they really, really and truly cared, they would have taken the time to go out to the classroom and check and see. Because at some point in time, somebody had to turn some grades in to say whether or not this young man was still eligible. You know, there's some more stuff in here talking about the class. You know, and a lot of this really took place after Mary Wellingham, the UNC learning specialist, who was a whistleblower for the lecture-style classes that never met. You know, set up some classes. They're supposed to be lectures, supposed to be in the lecture hall, but the classes never meet. Was named as a witness for the attorney representing the current and former college athletes in a class action suit against the NCAA. So she initially was a whistleblower and probably is having some hard times around about now. But this is all going to come out in the wash at the end of the day, because, you know, these are things that really and truly need to be brought to the forefront. Parents, how do we as parents, come on, let's be realistic. How do we as parents sit back and allow something like this to happen and we not show any signs of concern or take any interest or, you know, call in to see or visit the school to say, hey, what's going on? Do we get so consumed on the fact that, okay, you know, I don't want to hurt my son's chances for possibility of, you know, making it to the next level. You know, if you look at this young man, Rashard McCants. Rashard McCants is another young man that ran into a situation. And this article that I'm reading from now is dated, or actually, it was posted on the Charlotte Observer, Saturday, June 7th, 2014. Roy Williams denied academic claim by former UNC hoop star Rashard McCants. You know, that's right there in your face. Right there in your face. Chapel Hill, Rashard McCants, one of the players most responsible for leading North Carolina in its 2005 national championship, has provided a critical account of his academic experience at UNC and said that Coach Roy Williams was aware of no-show courses in an African American Studies department. Let me say something, folks. Let me say this here real clear, real simple and real clear. That course, I bet you that course was only designed for African-American students, one. Two, That chorus seems to appear on both McCaskey's statement, appears on McAdoo's statement. So, man, we're talking one football player, one here, one basketball player. And I know there have been a number of young men that came out and said that, no, that's not the case. And, you know, it didn't happen that way. And Coach Roy Williams wasn't doing anything like that. All well, fine and dandy. I understand what you're saying. You know, I would agree with you. You know, I may even decide to, you know, support you. But right now, folks, you know, a foul seems to be a foul. And something's smelling mighty fishy. You know, I'm not the one that's buying off on it right now. I'm sorry. I hate to say that. And I'm not just pointing the finger at Roy Williams. I'm pointing the finger at the whole academic support folks at the University of North Carolina, because it now has affected the two major revenue sports, the two major revenue sports of that university, their football program and their basketball program. I look at something else here in this article on McCants. That McCants made his claims during an interview with ESPN Outside the Line, which on Friday published a story and aired an interview with a former basketball player. McCants told the network that tutors wrote his papers, that he went to classes about half the time at UNC, and that no-show courses in African American Studies Department, or AFAM, kept him eligible. In other words, they're using this same course to kind of milk this program right now. And these guys have been put into this course over the last couple years. I'm sorry to say, folks, if that's the case, then that school should not only experience some type of sanctions against them. They should really and truly experience something. They should be fined for. Just allowing these young men to pass through this school for a number of years. You know, my biggest question is, how long has this been going on? How long has this been going on? And as long as it's been going on, you know, we haven't said a whole lot about it, or you haven't heard a whole lot about it. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that it's going on at other institutions as well. Sad thing to say, you know, there are so many young men out there, and, you know, even looking at some of the guys that's at the professional level that has this loyalty, to their institution of higher learning, where they may hold back from, making a statement. And to me, that's a very sad part. That's a very, very sad thing. I would prefer and call it as they see it instead of, you know, their loyalty to the school. Do they honestly believe that, you know, their loyalty will ruin their careers? A lot of them have gone on and had very lucrative careers and have done some very promising things over the years. So what exactly seems to be the problem? You know, why aren't these young men speaking up if this is really and truly the case? You know, I would hope that we will hear something from you know, many others that may be out there to say, you know, what's going on, because I think that there's quite a bit that's going on that needs to be addressed, really and truly needs to be addressed. Sad to say, I think it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed now, while all folks and all eyes are on the sporting industry. It needs to be addressed now. Well, folks, we're getting down to about the last 10 minutes of the show. Haven't heard anything from anybody tonight. But as always, you know, I always value your opportunity to call in and share your thoughts with me, and you know, just give me some insight of what's on your mind. You know, as always, you can reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Well, for those of you who decided not to tune in and listen to us and give us your thoughts because you may be sitting back watching the game, we understand that, truly, truly, truly understand that. And, you know, I'm glancing at it from time to time myself, and checking out what's going on. It looks like the Spurs may even have an opportunity to pull off another one, which will be an unusual feat, as they say, because of the simple fact that supposedly Spurs, the Heat, has never experienced a O2 deficit in the playoffs, so never know what may happen. What may happen, you know. But like I said, getting back to this UNC situation, you know, it's something that really and truly needs to be addressed, and something that we need to make sure that, if at all possible, hey, parents, we are the parents of these young men and women that's out there doing everything they need to do to these institutions alive and valuable and, you know, everything else. If we're not there to support them, then who is going to be there? You know, we have to be our child's biggest advocate. You know, it's not that we can just simply sit back and say, well, not that we can just simply sit back and say, you know, not that we can just sit back and say, okay, oh, well, we have to make sure that we are our children's biggest advocate at all times, not an option. Well, you know, I haven't had a chance to hear from many of you this evening, but I wish I did. I'd love to have heard your thoughts on this UNC situation. And, you know, there's so many other things that's going on in sports media, sports news, you know. And we definitely like to hear your thoughts each and every week that we show up here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network. We promise we're going to try to bring you a show every Sunday night at 9:30. Eastern Standard Time, every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at PCP Network. On Facebook, you can find us at Parents Coach and Parents Network. Over the next few years, we're working on expanding our network, expanding the things that we're going to be able to bring to you. We're working with a young lady now that has a phenomenal program, Solo Mommies, and speaks to the positiveness, the positive attitude of solo mamas, single parents. She brings a dynamic thought. The things that single parents can do to keep their kids motivated, keep them engaged, keep them focused. She has two young kids of her own, and she forever has them involved in something, you know, and she'll be able to speak to some of that. I'll let you know when and where that program is going to join the network, but it's just another avenue that the Parents Go to Parents Network can share with all of this. Hopefully soon we'll be branching out to having an educator on to talk to you just simply about how you can be a supportive person to your child. You know, what do you do to support your child? Is your child preparing for the standardized test each and every year? Is your parent, if your child preparing for the final exam? As your parent, they're just simply doing little simple stuff as homework. You know, what's some of the things that you as a parent can get into? You know, we love to hear from you each and every week. You know, give us a call. You want to reach out to us, you want to shoot us an email or whatever, you can always reach us at pcphr@aol.com. I'll say that again, pcphr@aol.com. AOL.com. We love to hear from you. We haven't had a whole lot of conversation tonight, so I'm going to get ready to wind down. But for those of you who took the time to call in and listen, or listening to us on the internet, share this information with your family and friends. And we got a couple other shows lined up where we got some guests coming in that's going to call in, that's going to share some things with us. But so I know that you're looking forward to hearing from our guests, as always. Well, folks, I'm going to wind this thing down, and on that note, I'm going to say good night, good evening, great hearing from you, and as always, Parents Go to Parents Network is here for you.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on Blog Talk.
The game had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the former, out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I